You're listening to Root Awareness. I'm Caroline Lewis, ecotherapist, storyteller, and facilitator of human transformation in the wild. Root Awareness shares my personal healing journey in conversations with wise and sensitive leaders for these threshold times. On one of my recent adventures leading folks in the Pecos wilderness outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico, there were two young, inspirational women who gave me hope for the next generation of leaders. Today on the episode, you will hear from Mabel and Gabe.
This experience has unveiled more layers, and I feel like I know Gabe more at a deeper soul level. That strength and that bond is something that I will hold on to for the rest of this lifetime.
I trust what Mabel has to say. I know that she is not coming from an angle at any point to try and tear me down or to take away my own brilliance.
Before my conversation with Mabel and Gabe, I invite you to listen to my story of being in the wild as a young teen and learning what true friendship means when fostered in nature. With Cheryl Slover-Lynette and Larry Glover from leadfeather.org. Chapter 5, Friendship, Ecology. Friendship is something that I'm still learning so much about. Sisterhood has been a challenge for me in my life. I've had challenges with my own blood sister. We're getting to a different place now, but we've had struggles that have probably been inherited. The pain that can exist within sisterhood, the fact that this person knows you probably better than anyone else, yet also can feel so different and so distant at the same time. I think my own sister has taught me a lot about how to be in relationship with people and a lot about myself, and I'm still learning that, and I'm still constantly confused by it. Yet there's like this deep bond, this deep love. Doesn't it really exist in other places? And I think so many people have to seek sisterhood outside of their own families because families haven't accepted who they really are. I've had to really learn how to care for and honor other women when they're boldly in their gifts and not view it as a lack of who I am or that I have to compete for that kind of energy. It takes an unlearning of our conditioning to know that there's an abundant space for women to be in their own unique power and that we can walk alongside each other. So when I was 15 years old, the first time I ever went backpacking, I went backpacking with this group from my all-girls school. There was 10 young girls going backpacking for the first time together in the mountains of Colorado. It was an outward bound trip that was run through my school. And I signed up for it immediately. I knew I wanted to go on this trip. I grew up camping with my family, and I thought this looked really awesome, and I had just started this school and was looking to make new friends. It was just the experience of a lifetime. I was in this place, I just couldn't believe my eyes. The mountains were as far as you could see. The hikes were long and really steep and hard, but at every place at the top of the hill, you could just look for miles and miles, and it was gorgeous. I was confident in certain ways at that age, and other ways I just really didn't see myself or know myself to be capable for learning skills. And we were learning how to tie knots and set up shelters and cook. at the end of our program, our instructors told us that we would be having a solo experience, that we'd be going out for 24 hours with all the skills that we had been practicing and learning, that we would be camping by ourselves. We would be away from the group. My spot was in not the most ideal place. I was struggling with tying my knots. I somehow got my shelter set up. Before we went out on solo, Callie and I, my friend on the trip, who's now still one of my best friends, she and I decided that we were going to meet and break solo together, that we were actually going to camp together. Callie and I were friends at school. We had a couple of classes together. We were in a similar social group, but we weren't really good friends. We didn't know each other very well. On this Outward Bound experience, her and I became really good friends. We became closer. We got to know each other in this whole new way. So when we decided to break solo, I spent probably the first 6 hours of solo by myself. I saw her on top of the hill. She had this amazing place. We had made a plan that we were going to meet at a certain time. And so I ran over there and I met her and we ended up hiking up the hill together. And we just sat there and it was 4th of July. We watched the fireworks together in the distance. One of the first moments probably I'd been with a friend where we could be silent together. I think at that age, it could feel uncomfortable to be quiet, to have sacred silence. Callie and I just sat next to each other and were able to be quiet and watch the fireworks and watch the stars. It felt so special. I remember really admiring her because she was really good at all the knots and her shelter looked so nice and I felt really inspired by her. I think at that time in my life, I was really struggling in ways that I didn't understand. I just felt comfortable and nourished to be with a friend connected to the earth without all the distractions of TV and gossip and who's doing what and parties, schoolwork. It was just so basic and back to what felt really important. Not only did I feel more alive and more connected to my true self, but I felt like I could connect with her true self, authentic connection, and maybe a new way that I hadn't experienced quite like that before since I was really young and playing with kids in the dirt and outside. Felt like sisterhood. Authentic friendship in nature is the magic and the space that's created between two people where both of you aren't wearing any kind of mask. Literally, you're not wearing makeup. You're not dressing in a certain way to seek approval or even in any kind of way. You don't even have a mirror. When you're able to just fully surrender and be yourself in nature, you start to feel like you're one of the trees or one of the flowers. You don't have to try to be any certain way. You just are. You get to just exist in your own beauty. And beauty can look so many different ways. There's no trying or there's no attempt to be anything except for who you are. When you're there and you're so connected with your true sense of self, authentic connection can happen more freely. And the depth of connection feels more rooted and grounded and real. You can have harder conversations with each other. You can have more capacity to hold space in ways that maybe you're not able to in the modern world. Maybe some of the things that you're ashamed of or you don't want to talk about or that aren't socially accepted out there, you can just say it. When you're vulnerable and you're speaking from your truest self and you're in your authenticity, That's when you can create authentic connections with others. The kind of bond and friendships that are created in the natural world. Callie and I are still really good friends. One of those friends that I can still call, like we won't talk for months, and I call and we can pick up exactly where we left off, and there's no kind of expectation. We're able to really root the friendship in this adventure together, in this shared solo experience. And those roots are so strong that now we get to just continue to be completely ourselves without expectation, even though we've had challenges in our friendship. Knowing what it's like to be deeply connected to another human being, it can be challenging for me to have friendships that don't feel that way. There's a wisdom from that. There's a discernment, and there's also a lot of pain there. It's been hard to have surface level friendships. And also when certain friendships feel like they are done, or there's no potential for growth, or we just can't meet again, or we've grown apart, it's hard to pretend like everything's okay and sweep it under the rug. There's a certain level of depth and realness that I seek from my relationships. And now for my conversation with Mabel and Gabe, two young, inspirational women who I led on a recent transformational adventure in the Pecos wilderness outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico. Their bond reminds me of my friendship with Callie. I would love to just hear each of you share a little bit about yourselves, who you are, how old you are, and what you do in the world. So Gabe, how about we start with you?
I'm Gabe. Gabe Glassman, G squared. If I were to become a DJ, I would be G squared. I would say my primary focus right now in my life is community building. And I'm very lucky to be able to do that through my job as a social media manager. So I'm primarily building community across more than just space that we occupy, but across the digital space. So that is really, really cool. I am a real sucker for aesthetics. So I work a lot with brand management and creating branding. And I'm a tree hugger. I love being outside. I love hiking. I love camping. I love snowboarding. I love breathing in really, really cold air. And that's how I move in the world.
Thanks, Gabe. When was one of the first times that you really connected with the natural world? Like one memory, one story.
I grew up on a horse farm, and I grew up riding horses, and I think that will always be my first, touch base with the natural world, is, being around horses, and my family only really trail rides, being out in the woods on a horse, and I always ride in the front, because that's just, who I am. I just am always, in the front. Partially because I don't want my view obstructed by other horse butts. So I'm in the front, and you just feel this creature moving underneath you, and you're not in control of the movement. You're having to sort of go with what's happening. And the air is just cooler because you're in the trees. And then all of a sudden, to my left side, I just see this butterfly float alongside me, and it just continues to go beside me while I'm on this horse, this beautiful horse. Anytime I'm back in that space on a horse, oh yeah, this is where it started.
Thank you for sharing. And Mabel, can you share some about yourself and who you are and what you do in the world?
Yes. So hello, my name is Mabel. I am from West Virginia. I grew up deep in the mountains of West Virginia on an off-grid farm way away from any town or city. So you can imagine an hour to school, an hour to the grocery store. So we were self-sustainable. We made our power off of the creek. We had firewood. It was hard living. But because I had that upbringing, being specifically around water has always been very important to me, and clean water is essential for life. And growing up, I did a lot of activism and work around clean water here in West Virginia, whether that was direct action for organizing against oil pipelines or going to the legislature to trying to pass bills for clean water. And then I'm now 22. I work in the tourism industry in the winters as a ski instructor and in the summers as a whitewater river guide. So I am always outside, and I feel very privileged that I am able to work in this capacity, sharing my home through all the interactions I have with the people that are new to this area or new to being outside. I'm so grateful that I have had the experience of my upbringing so that I can show them what my home looks like through my eyes and through my lens. And I'm currently, right now, I'm in the in-betweens. I'm in the shoulder season. I'm about to move up to Snowshoe, where I work. But it's been pretty sweet to take some time and be slow and not move a lot during this off-season time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet. I mean, both of those jobs, you work so hard, both as a ski instructor and also a river guide. So having a little time for yourself, that's a gift right now. And I'm curious, how did the two of you know each other? How did you first meet?
Our love story begins with a mutual friend who's no longer involved in our relationship. You should tell it from your side, Mabel, because it was your room.
It was our freshman year of college. We were both wide-eyed, doe-eyed. Well, we went to college in Virginia. And I remember meeting Gabe the spring semester and seeing her as a bright light, being like, I have finally found one person that is like me and shares my values and wants to do the same things that I do at this small little liberal arts college in the mountains. And we met through my roommate, who did not want to introduce us because she knew deep down that we would probably become better friends with each other than with her. And I went on to show Gabe West Virginia, and she liked it, or loved it, maybe. And then our second year of college, we started an outdoor club together to try to draw other people who had the same interests into our little circle.
But we started that club our sophomore year, but with two other friends that we had also made independently freshman year. And then find out at the end of freshman year, we were like, oh, wait, you know Mabel? Yeah, I know Mabel. We've been hanging out. Blah, blah, blah. And so all four of us came together to start this club called the WAC, or WAC, which stood for the Weekend Adventure Club.
And how did the club go?
It was basically a way for us to get funds for the school to hang out and do the things we already did.
One of the reasons I wanted to bring y'all both on the show is that when I was in high school, I had this very profound experience with a friend. We weren't really friends at school, but we had this really beautiful nature experience together where we were supposed to go on solo. So Outward Bound does like a 24-hour, 48-hour solo experience. And my friend Callie and I, we were always kind of troublemakers. We ended up breaking solo and spending the time together and having this incredible kind of adventure together. And then ever since then, Callie and I have been really good friends. And she lives in Arkansas, and I now live in Colorado. But no matter if we haven't spoken for months, we can pick up where we left off. And there's just something about that bond happening and evolving in nature that has really kept us rooted and connected in the friendship. And I know that both of you have had these nature experiences together. It sounds like you've had many times together outside, but I know that there was one that you did a wilderness journey 24-hour solo, and both of you were there witnessing each other and each other's stories and growth. And so I'm curious, just how do you think your friendship differs from some of your other friendships, because there is that strong connection with the earth?
In my experience with the natural world, I see it as a way to sort of cast out all the bullshit of like being surrounded by four walls and what that does for you. And then being outside is just sort of like, no, you know, you really can't hide from that. Like, you're going to see what's going to come up, and you're going to see what happens whenever you sit and just watch the grass grow. And in terms of our friendship, one of my favorite parts about going on solos with Mabel is I know so much about her background because we've shared so much about our lives together for the past 4 years. And then even before that, we've talked about a lot of stuff. And so it's really cool for me to see what these like signs bring to her. Stuff that comes up for her, and to see how she'll then take it and apply it to her background.
Mabel, do you have anything you want to add to that, what Gabe just shared?
These solo experiences are so raw and so grounding and so real that when you go out into the nature environment, you can't help but to be so exposed. You can't help but to get so grounded down and be so rooted in your identity and your being that you can't hide behind any of the layers of the onion that you have built, any layers of the shell. And every time I go into this with even my bestest friend, the way that I see the layers unravel and the truths and the revelations that come up for my friend is amazing. It's surprising because it's like, I thought I knew all of you. I thought we've told each other all of our childhood secrets and all of our college crushes, but this experience has unveiled more layers, and I feel like I know Gabe more at a deeper soul level. That strength and that bond is something that I will hold on to for the rest of this lifetime. And it is something so special and unique that it's hard to build outside of being immersed in the wilderness.
And Mabel, is there a particular moment when you've witnessed Gabe sharing a story that you remember?
Anytime that Gabe cries, I'm like, oh shit. Listen, this is real. This is serious, because Gabe is my most composed friend. So when an experience is that profound for her, then that it evokes that deep emotion, I'm like, this calls my attention. And then what am I getting from this experience too? And I'm also crying my eyes out.
Mm-hmm. So you haven't really seen her cry that much outside of these experiences?
No, it's very rare.
I can think about maybe one time whenever I went over to Getty's and just bawled my eyes out. But that was like a completely... Yeah, it was one time, seriously. Yeah, meanwhile, I've held Mabel while she cries over a toilet repeatedly. On the flip side, what evokes that thing for me is whenever Mabel gets really quiet and is very like within and is very thoughtful. That's whenever I'm like, oh yeah, wheels are turning.
Yeah. When you know someone so well, it kind of calls your attention when something out of the behavior, out of their habited behavior that you know and that you love comes up. It's definitely a sign.
Mm-hmm. And when you say, Mabel, when you say sign, what do you mean by that, or something that should be listened to?
Something that requires your full present being, your undivided attention, mind, body, and spirit to be in that moment.
So you did one solo experience, one 24-hour nature solo experience together. And when I say that, what I mean is y'all were in the group. There was a journey that was being facilitated, and you both individually went out and had your individual solos for 24 hours and then came back and were able to hear each other's stories about what that was like for you and what you learned and how you connected deeply with nature individually. So you had one of those experiences, and then a year later, you decided to do it with each other again in New Mexico. So what prompted that? Why did you decide to have the experience together again a year later?
I think I texted Mabel and I was like, we should go to New Mexico. And she was like, yeah, I'm already doing it. There was no like active planning. It was individual ideas. Again, we have the same values. It happened totally independently. And then I was like, yeah, I'm definitely going on this. It'd be cool if Mabel went. And I text her. She goes, yeah, I'm already going. Yeah, great.
There's some greater thread that keeps pulling you together.
Definitely.
No doubt. No doubt.
And having it happen again, do you feel like the friendship deepened even more after not only doing it once together, but doing it twice?
Yes, it is interesting to have both experiences and be able to compare our behaviors and our discoveries between the two. I think it was really magical and very camaraderie to be able to be in that space again with Gabe and to know that she has my back and to know that she knows my history and to know what I discovered in the first solo experience, and then to have her witness the second solo experience is like, this work is so profound. This work affects you. If you do it once a year, twice a year, and it's not going to be the same, it's always going to be different. It's always going to be moving and flowing. And I think about how I'm so grateful that I had two different but similar experiences with the same group of people, because that really allows me to have that stability to hold me while I can reflect on how I've been changing and adapting in my own being between the times.
Yeah, I'm curious just about how, you know, this idea of sisterhood, and sometimes girls and young women can get jealous of each other, or there can be hard things that come up in the relationship, and doing such deep work with one another, I wonder if any of that stuff ever comes up between you two, like witnessing each other's stories, or how that is to just be with each other's stories, and if any hard feelings ever come up in the relationship.
I have had a lot of girlfriends before where one or both of us gets this jealous feeling for whatever reason. I've never felt that way with Mabel. We're individuals and we each have our own strengths and weaknesses, and that there's nothing more to it.
There is power in you knowing your identity and going out into the world unapologetically. I have experienced as well in the past of being told that I make people feel insecure because I know who I am, because I feel so comfortable and safe in who I am. But with Gabe, I think that we both recognize each other as these deities in our own right, our own power that will never be the same, but can draw from each other and can charge each other. So I love being able to talk with Gabe and not have to explain all of the details and all of the logistical aspects of these wilderness experiences, because she was there. She knows. We can just get to the heart of it. We can get to the meat of it. And I can recall in my mind of like both of us sitting and listening to each other and crying with each other and holding each other and being present and witnessing each other. So very fortunate that I feel that I have someone that is as confident as I am in myself as they are in themselves and in our relationship.
Yeah. And I think with that, like, confidence too, you get this level too of accountability that we both hold each other on. We're very well aware of each other and can call each other on the bullshit when there's some bullshit. That also comes from the confidence in ourselves and in each other. I trust what Mabel has to say because I know that she is not coming from an angle at any point to try and tear me down or to take away my own brilliance.
There's power in being secure in your identity.
Yep.
Which it can come from having a hard life. It can come from hardship. It can come from trauma.
Probably another value is that we both come from very strong women and lines of very strong women. And we both have sisters. I have two sisters. Mabel has one sister. We're both oldest sisters, eldest daughters. That level of femininity that just weaves its way through that just really adds to the connection and to the power.
Also, just through so much time spent in nature. I mean, when we're out in the natural world, you start to develop this, it's almost like a sixth sense of being able to just see beauty in this way of knowing that one tree is not going to be like the next tree, but they're both so beautiful in their own right. And there's something deeply feminine about that knowing. And it sounds like through your own ancestry and through your own families, you also have that weaving through, that knowing that really adds to this confidence in who you are, this knowing on a soul level.
Yes, the rejection of competition, the rejection of patriarchy, the rejection of capitalism, the embracement of collaboration. Like you said, in nature, everything has its part to play. The trees help each other. They don't fight each other.
And something you mentioned, Mabel, about, I think, integration, you know, sometimes after having such a powerful experience, like doing a 24-hour solo in the wilderness, and you're in this group and you have this maybe a really amazing, deep experience in the group context, but then when you leave, oftentimes it's hard to continue those threads. You know, it's hard to really integrate fully the experience because you don't have community knowing your experience. You have to explain to them your experience. And so it's so special that both of you are able to have these experiences and then go back and continue tracking one another. That's amazing for integration.
There is a celebration in the accountability. Like, I get so much joy when I was able to text Gabe when I completed one of the things that I set out to do. My last solo, I had set a goal, and I completed that goal, and I texted Gabe, and I was like, look what I did! I'm so excited! And she was like, yes! So being able to have that shared joy, that shared progress.
I gotta trust my memory bank and be like, yes! There is no other context. It is just the thing. Which is not something that you could experience if I had not been on that trip.
Mabel, do you want to share what that was? I'm curious, what was something that you were working on the solo experience that you've been able to now celebrate that Gabe has been witnessing you in?
So one of my goals was to stop suffering at my own hands. And one of the pillars of that was removing anything that was affecting my well-being. And for the past 4 years, I was on a birth control in my arm. And I had just been talking, I've been talking to Gabe for like probably a year now about how I wanted to remove that. And it's really scary, you know, to set the appointment to go do it. And I think that in this last solo, I was able to find the courage and the bravery to make that a priority. And so I got the stick, the birth control stick, removed out of my arm, which was like, I was like, I did it. And I was like, that was easy. That was so easy. Why didn't I do that before? But it reminded me of like how you can get so entrapped in the layers and the cycles of your own suffering, of keeping yourself down. And I did it. And I told Gabe, and I was like, I did it. I'm free.
The stories about crying over a toilet was caused because of that damn stick. Oh, thank God it's out.
Because it truly affected my well-being. It affected my mental health. It made me an anxious being. And the minute I got it out, I felt the doom lift off my chest. I was like, oh, this is how I used to live. I like this.
And Mabel, how did you come to that realization on your solo? Was there a moment?
I climbed the mountain. I set up my tent and I sat there. I sat there all through the day. I sat there all through the night, and I was miserable. And I was reflecting, and I was like, I had to do this again. I have to come on a second solo journey because I wasn't able to come to what I had sought my first solo journey. I wasn't able to do it. And I was sitting up there on the mountain. I was like, you weren't able to do it. And now you are here again. And it is because of your choices. Everything that you have ever done has led you here. I was like, I don't want to be here. I want to be home. I want to be in the green. I want to be in the water. I don't want to do this again. And an emotion came up that I didn't really have a relationship with: anger. I didn't want to be angry because I saw so much anger in my upbringing. And so I pushed it away. But when I was sitting on the mountain the second time, I let it overtake me and I let it come in. And before, I couldn't do that. I made the progress. I made a little progress, you know, small steps. I felt like I was still numbed. I wasn't connected to my body. I was not connected to my emotions. And by putting myself again in suffering, that anger was able to come up. And that anger was able to be my teacher and has since still been my teacher.
Gabe, what's it like right now to just hear Mabel share that?
This is like, we all have those friends. They're putting themselves through the same shit over and over again. And you saying something to them is not going to change it. It has to be that own self-discovery. It has to be their own level of accountability. It's really got to come within. And it makes me excited for Mabel to hear all of this and to hear, yeah, I do put myself through a lot of really terrible things and I don't have to do that. So yeah, it was really exciting for me to sort of witness that within herself. And then later on, we went to what has become, I guess, a necessity for me after a solo, which is going to Cowgirl in Santa Fe. Shout out Cowgirl. And we're just talking over dinner, and Mabel is still like, I'm angry. I did not like this. Great. All right, what do we do now? Take this thing that you have now come to and that you're now holding in your hand as a tool, and then how do we make sure that you don't have to feel that way again at your own design?
Gabe has been helping me for a long time. She helped me not drop out of college by making a Gabe helps Mabel get her life together list my freshman year.
Well, I think something that you shared though, Gabe, is in these kinds of experiences, nature is the one that's witnessing and is holding space. And Gabe was going through her own process and being held by the natural world. And then coming back together, you got to hear how she was understanding that for herself. She was going through this transformation and starting to understand this. You didn't have to be the one that's sitting there telling her what she should or shouldn't be doing.
And you can't be. In a healthy friendship, you cannot, like, that's not anybody's role to play. It was such a gift to be able to go out and have my own solo experience and to not have to devote any energy or any time to what Mabel was going through, because she had that own space being held for her. We're each able to be held out in nature, and we're each able to have our own moments of stillness really being inflicted on us for these 24 hours that you're out there that you cannot run from. And what am I here to listen to? What am I here to learn? That's probably one of my favorite things about going on a solo with Mabel, is that we're each doing our own work, and yes, we can come back and reflect on it and set intentions for it. Really, at the end of the day, we're doing our own work. That's the exciting thing.
And you get to just continue on that journey. You're truly walking alongside each other on this journey, and then you get to help each other integrate those experiences.
Yeah, it takes a big weight off your chest to know that you don't have to be your friend's therapist. Nature can be the host, and you can walk in hand in support.
Yeah, more friendships should go on solos, because you don't have to be your friend's therapist.
After having these experiences and just what you shared, both of you, you know, so much wisdom gained about friendship and about deeply connecting with the earth and about femininity. There's so much, just so much insight gathered from sharing these experiences together and also in your own inner processes out there. This moment in your generation, there's so much connection with technology and a huge part of the world that we live in today. What's any wisdom that you would want to share with listeners about being young women and having these profound experiences together and also individually in the natural world?
It is up to you to decide when you want to do the work. And then it is also your choice to remove any distractions. Whether substances, whether that is people, whether that is technology. Our ancestors were born into a world without. They got us here because they did hard work. I think about how I'm doing hard work for them and for my lineage in the future. It's just about finding the space where you feel safe and comfortable, loved and held, so that you may begin to do the work.
Thank you, Mabel. What about you, Gabe?
I think that my thoughts concerning technology always come back to like connection, because technology and the way that it works, designed to work, is to connect us with people. But then ultimately, whenever you're going through these really meaningful experiences, You just need to cast it outside the window because you're already in the physical space, especially on a solo where you actually are with each other as opposed to right now. Even now, though, whenever we're all talking on Zoom, yeah, foster some sense of connection, and we're doing that through technology. But ultimately, whenever you are looking at another person, like, you've just got to throw it all away because it's a distraction. It's what Mabel's talking about. It's one more thing preventing you from getting through those doors. Another side of this, though, too, is like Mabel and I also are coming from experiences where, like, we didn't really have technology growing up. We had VCRs, I think, and I wasn't allowed to get a phone until I was 16 and had no, like, social media connection until much later in development. So how, while it is a tool, it can also be a hindrance whenever you've been holding it for so long. So I think it's a little easier for Mabel and I to be like, yeah, let's cast that out. Let's not be on our phones whenever we're together and, like, let's actually talk.
Yeah, I mean, that's a gift, really. You didn't have to learn that all on your own. You had that experience growing up, and then as you've grown into young women, you've been able to know that it is really important to not always be connected with technology because you had that experience at a young age, which is unusual. And when you look at leadership right now and your generation and what's happening with the climate, what is your hope for leadership?
Accountability. I think this is actually, Mabel, I just realized we did this together. One of my favorite things that I did in school was we went to the climate march. Do you remember that? I just remember that we went there. And it was very empowering because everybody that was there was way younger than we were. And we were in, when did we go? We went sophomore year of college, so 2019. And everybody is there, and everybody that's young is like, this is a problem. Like, we are contributing to this. But you look around and you're like, this makes me feel warm. But also, there's nobody here that is actively, like, contributing to legislature. The people in power are not having any accountability, and they need to be the ones to help out. So that's what I would love to see, if people in power just being like, yeah, no, we have messed up, but here is how we're going to fix it and actively do something about it.
The revolution will be televised. It will be shown from every perspective of every person out on the streets, out in the movement. It will be shown, and that is where we will be able to burn it down. Because when we tell our stories, when we show our perspectives, even when I am on TikTok, it shares information, it shares people's stories, it spreads ideas, and it spreads revolutions like wildfire. Being able to watch the protests in Iran from the perspectives of the people on the streets, from the young women on the streets, that is something that is never, that I've never seen in any revolution, in any type of change, is everyone has a platform for voice. I look forward to seeing how our platforms that can have a video that can blow up within a day, how that shapes our future movements.
That was Mabel and Gabe, who I had the great privilege of guiding on a solo journey in the wild. And now we'll close with a root awareness meditation. Okay, I invite you to get in a comfortable space. Close your eyes if that's available to you. Take a few deep breaths, grounding into your body. Call all of your energy home that's been with other places and other people, that you get to be in the here and now, right now, in your body. Now ask your spirit to show you a place in nature that feels so sacred and so special to you. And trust the first hit that you get that that's your intuition, even if it might surprise you. give yourself permission to just be here. Take a few deep breaths here, allowing yourself to just be in this place. And now invite a person there with you, with your eyes still closed. Again, trusting your intuition. Invite a person who you know that you can really just trust and be your whole self. And invite this person to come sit next to you. And maybe you want to say a few words out loud to this person. But most importantly, just take a couple of deep breaths and feel what it feels like to be in this person's presence. And you can even look at this person in their eyes. And notice what it feels like in your heart to really see this person and to also feel seen. And now offer gratitude, say thank you for joining me here in this space. We get to enjoy this beautiful place together. And if there's absolutely anything else that you want to share, and if any feelings come up about being in the presence of this person, just allow them to be here if anything needs to be felt and expressed. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. Thank you for listening to Root Awareness. I'm your host, Caroline Lewis. Please subscribe to Root Awareness. Rate, review, and share. You can find show notes wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to start your own healing and transformation journey with me as your guide, please find me online at rootawareness.com and on Instagram at roots_awareness. To sign up for my newsletter. Please join us next time as a journey back home continues to unfold. This production was co-created by award-winning media midwife Ari Golden. You can find a link to her work in the show notes.